The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm your host, John Ryan. Am I? I'm still shocked from what those people reading Lynn, her extraordinary travels, unbelievable, to Kenya, etc. But I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host is Marlene Levy. And now we have the honor, and it really is an honor, to have Sheila Bino on. And Sheila is the legislator from the 2nd District.
Correct.
This is not a political show. Sheila is running for office, but that's not why she's here.
Correct.
So it just coincidentally she's on, and this is the timing of it. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Sheila Bino is a survivor.
Yes.
And offered to come on, which is very important because there are people, my wife being one, that doesn't want to talk about it. Being very honest, and my daughter had cancer, and they've asked her to do things, and she said, "Dad, I had it. That's the end of it." So when I get somebody who's willing to turn around and say, "I'll talk about it," it's wonderful because you can help somebody else. In a little way, you may not know you helped the other person.
Indeed.
But at the end of the day, at the end of a month, all of a sudden they do something. They went back to the doctor because they weren't happy. And it was because of something you said that registered in their mind. So thank you so much for coming out.
It's indeed my pleasure. I actually look for opportunities to go out and speak about, the experience. And I think it was helpful when someone reached out and did it for me. So I think it my responsibility to carry it forward.
Perfect. Good.
Were you in Flushing Meadow by any chance on Sunday?
I was not.
Yeah, because they had an unbelievable turnout.
I have walked the Flushing Meadow, Central Park, and also Jones Beach, of course. But this Sunday was my birthday.
Birthday.
I was celebrating more birthdays, which was a slogan for American Cancer Society some time ago. And so I was actually out of the area on Sunday.
Okay. Good for you.
Just curious, because my stepdaughter was there for her mother, and she has her own group, and they march the 5 miles. And
it's something to witness.
Thousands and thousands.
In reference to your situation, and, this is delicate, so don't answer anything you don't want to. How did it come about, and what should ladies be looking for? Even though maybe I wouldn't know since I wasn't, I was very much involved, so I know what you should be looking for. Mm-hmm. But like anything in life, somebody turns around and says, I should have been doing that. I didn't realize that. It's like, I want to slap them in the head. But in reality, I guarantee you, many people today don't know what they should be doing.
Indeed. And so I would say that it was all planned out well in advance of me getting diagnosed that I would understand that there was a possibility.
Okay.
I was 35 when I discovered my lump, and unfortunately a friend of mine had been diagnosed 2 years prior to that. And so when I found my lump while on vacation in the Caribbean with my family for my birthday, ironically in the month of October, and I felt the lump, I knew there was a real possibility that
it could be cancer.
I made my way back home without telling anybody what was going on and went to the doctor. I figured don't make people worry if they didn't need to.
At that point.
And the doctor expedited the process, and I was diagnosed with stage 2. We had to do a lumpectomy and go through radiation as well.
Okay.
And chemotherapy.
And chemo.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, which a lot of people don't accept, my daughter had chemo, and she didn't have breast cancer. My wife had breast cancer. My daughter had lymphoma twice. And this was in college. And she says, Daddy, and she was talking like a baby because, you're beat up. Chemo beats you up.
Absolutely.
So you're a tough woman. But when you're honestly, chemo makes you a little mush mouse. And she said, Daddy, you know, doesn't God think cancer's bad enough? Why do I have to lose my hair?
Mm.
I was like, well, you're 19. How am I going to answer you? I don't know what to tell you, honey. I agree, but guess what? We'll get through it and you move forward.
Yeah, that was a tough part, believe it or not. You know, a lot of people don't understand how tough that can be to lose your hair and
it's a trauma
and the like. Yeah.
Traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Extremely.
In fact, one of the stories with my daughter is somebody, she had a bandana on. You know, I was with a woman the other day, not with her.
You qualify that, please.
No.
We're on the edge.
And you knew 100% she was going through chemo. She had a bandana on. She had no eye, you know, everything. And, But somebody came up to my daughter once and wanted her to take her hat off. Let me see. You're so pretty. Let me see what you look like with hair. She was like mortified. I mean, like, it's not. You know the person who is dealing with.
Absolutely.
When you had chemo, you were just exhausted.
Wiped. And
if you put a hat on, you put a hat on to cover your hair and lack of or whatever.
And I'll tell you, I had that Oprah Winfrey big head of hair. And so I had some advice.
Prior to this, yes.
And so,
do you have pictures?
Not with me, no, but yeah, you. I will show you one. You know, every once in a while, someone will ask me for one, so I have one in my.
I only know you
in
like
my
this.
Photo okay. lot. And so, a friend of mine said to me, "You know, listen." The same friend who had been diagnosed 2 years before, she says, "Take it in your own hands. Start cutting your hair now, because if you." Starts falling out at the length that it is, it's going to be a little more traumatic for you. So I started cutting it and cutting it and cutting it until we got to a point where, you know, it started falling out. And then my friend, a barber, came over and just took it down. And that was the end of that. And I kind of maintained this short hair as...
Ever since?
Yep.
Without knowing the story, I had no idea.
Doesn't your hair grow back differently? Well,
in the beginning, the texture was much...
Yes.
It was like baby hair. I was
Okay.
Yeah, it was like baby hair. But, you know, I've decided I'm going to maintain the short hair. We don't know what the future holds, but in the immediate, the further you get away from the experience, mm-hmm. it's easy to forget, right, a little bit of it, right? And mm-hmm. so when I look in the mirror, I remember. And so it helps me
when
remain
was this
thankful.
Even?
So I was diagnosed first in 2003.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and so, and the treatment went... I was treated just up until the end of 2004.
Okay.
And in fact, I was a student. I was a graduate student here on this campus.
Oh, really?
When I was going through the process. Yeah. And the doctor said, you're going to have to give up. I was working at North Hempstead Housing Authority, and I was going to school here at night. And the doctor says, you've got to give up something. And I said, not going to happen. I scheduled those chemos on Wednesdays because I knew by Friday I'd be on my face. And I would be on my face for the weekend and back at it on Monday. And then eventually over time, the body said, you're going to have to do something a little different. And so I ended up changing my classes to a one-day class on the Sunday. And I'd push instead of going at night, when we got into the spring, I'd go just on the Sunday and I'd made it through. I felt like giving up anything would be giving in, so I just trudging along, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I'm agreeing,
you know,
but I mean,
yeah,
you've done the admiration is just, you know.
You know what's interesting.
Listen, I mean, chemo. Honestly, different things, and I'm not saying one's better than the other. Chemo sucks.
It's tough. You know. That's a tough thing.
It's a tough one. Different things hurt, and radiation.
I sailed through that. It was the chemo that was
the
tough.
Chemo just does its business on you. There's no question about it.
Indeed,
you touched upon something very important, and that's the devastation a person has when they lose their hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if they're losing their identity. And I think what's interesting, what I was just thinking of, is when a woman or man has breast cancer, and you know that this is going to be a happening, whether it's a lumpectomy or a mastectomy, whatever it is, and you're going to have that chemo and this is to happen, perhaps there should be, like they have in offices of plastic surgery, if you have a mastectomy and you have the before and the after, they should have the pictures of hair as well of a woman and a man before, during, and after. That after, because all you do when you know that you're having this cancer and the chemotherapy is envision nothing. envisioned no hair. So you have that picture. That picture is thrown on when you're on TV, too. That's, you know, fund us, do this, and you'll see the no hair. But if you see the after, that this is what you do, this is how you are at one point, but there's an after when you help us. This is the after
Absolutely.
You fund us.
Absolutely.
And you see the beautiful person that's
because
there after.
I'll tell you, no sooner than I stopped chemo, you started to see, and it was like hope springs eternally,
mm-hmm.
right? Because then the hair just started to come back in, the eyebrows were coming back in, and in today's, you know, world of cosmetology, I wish, you know, listen, they're painting eyebrows on now, and mm-hmm. it looks like real eyebrows,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What about your eyelashes?
And my eyelashes, everything.
Okay.
And so I'll tell you, a friend of mine came one night, and she says, oh, I was going to go out. And she says, she put on my eyebrows for me and painted them on, and we went out. It was girls' night. And I experienced the hot flashes during the, you know, the chemo part.
Yeah.
And we're out, and she says to me, let's go to the restroom. I said, I don't have to go to the restroom. I mean, the live band was kicking.
I know where we're going.
And she says, we need to go to the bathroom. And I said, she says, one of your eyebrows just came off. So I had inadvertently through, you know, trying to pat away this, you know, this hot flash, I had taken off, you know, part of my eyebrow. So we went back in the bathroom, we put it, and when I tell you, we laughed and laughed.
That's good. That's
we
good.
We still
that
laugh
is,
at
but
it.
But that is funny.
Because, you know, listen, you got to laugh through these things.
Right, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, that is a funny situation.
That
it
is.
Really is.
Indeed.
Come about from a disgustingly sad situation, but at one point in time, in that moment, look what happened, and it's cute. It just go. You got to go with the flow.
That's it.
And there is, you know, there's nothing. It's one of those things, and I really see it. And you're going to agree. As much as you can talk about it, you have to go through it. So the empathy, sympathy, whatever you call it, from all the caring people in the world who love you dearly, all they're doing is giving you love.
That's it.
And I say it all the time. I'm like, you don't know. No, I understand. You don't understand. Don't tell me you understand.
It
it's
is
impossible
the most
to understand.
Personal journey yeah. that you can ever take.
You know, and that's even you and another lady, because, you know, or a man and another man. Everyone, this is individualized.
That's
how
right.
How you're going through it. Like, obviously, if I was to have chemo and lost my hair, I could care less. That doesn't bother me. You know, but that's me. Somebody else, some other man, would be out of his mind
mm-hmm.
because hair is important to him. But it's just the impact and the importance of education, because that's what it is.
What you yeah. just said, as a man, you know, you wouldn't care if you're partially bald to begin with.
Right,
however,
right.
as a man, you lose your eyebrows. With a woman, you can, as you just said,
paint
them on. What does a man do? Is
magic
he going to paint them on too?
Yeah,
magic
we'll
marker?
Paint them,
of course, magic
on.
Marker.
We'll
John, you've
point.
Got it. You've got it down. So, oh, let me tell you, magic wand. That's where it is. Magic
if you look at the way I dress, I think you realize the eyebrows are not my number one concern.
Cut it out.
We'll get away with the
okay,
eyebrows.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay, foot and mouth. I did it.
I agree with you 100%. And the shame of it is, it's a sign.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the only good thing for a caring community. The good thing is when you lose some things, I hope that somebody will hold the door for you, that kind of thing. It's a sign. Good mm-hmm. morning, how you doing, dear? And
that's
hold the
it.
Door. Mm-hmm. Not be rude to you, because you look and you say, there's something wrong.
Absolutely.
And the one that doesn't is just, it's a human being you don't want to be involved in anyway. But that's, you know, not that you need signs, but, you know, and we're going to talk about the mental health thing next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a mental health issue, you don't have signs, usually. You have to be very aware. So therefore, you're not holding the door for that person.
You have to be
I will
aware.
Hold the door for everybody. But if you have a crutch, I'll definitely hold the door.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind may not be there, but nobody pays attention. They slam the door on your face, and then next thing, you've gone.
Absolutely.
We're having a wonderful conversation with legislator Celia Labino. We're taking a break.
Yes,
we're listening
yes,
to
yes.
88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.